Welcome to the fifth episode of What You Didn't Know About the Environment, hosted by me, Lottie,
and me, Sasha. In this episode, we'll be talking about our two favourite treats, coffee and chocolate, and its effects and affects on climate change. So Lottie, where is coffee made?
So coffee is made in quite a lot of different countries. It's quite a complex commodity in that sense, but it's primarily made between the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. So a number of people have coined this the bean belt. So the three main primary growing regions are Central and South America, Africa, and then the Middle East and Southeast Asia. And they're suited to grow coffee because they have cool to warm tropical climates and rich soils and generally few pests and diseases that target coffee as a plant.
Is this where coffee first originated from?
So coffee first originated actually in Ethiopia. So yes, between that equatorial zone. But then unlike other commodities, it was distributed by loads of different colonial forces. So initially trade started off between the Yemeni people and then other populations in the Middle East because of different taste profiles. But then as the Dutch East India Company jumped on the bandwagon and saw that this was a market that they could exploit, they then distributed it to other regions. And that's where it first started to proliferate.
Oh, that's really interesting. I think chocolate also has quite a similar back profile. I know that chocolate is mainly grown in the equatorial regions, so it needs quite hot and rainy conditions to grow. And 70% of the world's cocoa beans at the moment, they're grown in West Africa.
So I know coffee is probably one of my favourite treats. I love trialing the different beans and the different ways to make them. But how much chocolate is generally consumed by a UK household?
So it's actually quite a surprising amount, which does make me feel quite a lot better. So I did some research and it's around 3 bars a week that are consumed on average per person, which is quite a lot and less than I consume.
Yeah, same. Although I have caved a bit towards the end of the term and does some cheeky nips out to Tesco for the mini egg chocolate bar, so I can understand why people eat 3 bars a week.
Especially in the lead up to Easter as well, I feel like people be consuming a lot more.
Yeah, it's just teasing you on the supermarket shelf.
So is coffee going to be impacted by climate change?
Unfortunately, yes. So when I was researching for this episode, I was very hopeful that I would still get my cup of coffee in and it wouldn't matter. And I know that I'm not the only one hoping that it wouldn't be affected, with around 2.25 billion cups of coffee consumed globally per day. And I know in London it's very easy to do that with the press subscription and all the nice coffee places around. So unfortunately, due to the increased energy in the Earth system and atmosphere, there will be hurricane increases around Central America, and these impact smallholder farming families by destroying their croplands and houses. And this is very important to coffee production because around 80% of coffee is produced by these smallholders. And as a result of this disturbance, there'll be generally increased poverty and insecurity with these families, and also coffee market disruption. So you may see price increases due to the high production costs, and with increasing rural to urban migration, if hurricanes have destroyed your livelihood, then less farmers will be producing them. So this might make your coffee more expensive as well.
I know with chocolate, I was also looking at the impacts of climate change on chocolate, and it's also going to unfortunately decrease in supply, which will also push up the prices of chocolate, which is very sad for us.
That is very sad.
But I think the reasons why are slightly different to coffee, in the sense that it's going to be impacted by climate change by lots of dry spells and increased temperatures. Basically, cocoa trees, they're very sensitive to temperatures and water. So this means that they can only produce cocoa in a very small climatic bracket, you could say. So this means, unfortunately, by 2030 in West Africa, where most of our chocolate is grown or cocoa beans, that the suitability for cocoa will significantly decline. This is also exacerbated by uncertainties over rainfall, because one of the problems we're facing at the moment with climate change is we actually don't know how rainfall patterns are going to change. So it is possible that maybe rainfall will increase, but it's also quite likely that rainfall will decline where the cocoa beans are grown. So this is causing farmers to be pushed to higher altitudes where the climate is more suitable. But this is also causing other problems like deforestation, which in turn exacerbates climate change. And this also means that more land is having to be used to grow cocoa because of the crop variability, meaning that farmers need to grow crops over a much larger amount of land to be able to get the same amount of yield that was grown before.
I know coffee is similar in that sense as well, that a lot of the best areas for coffee will shift to higher altitudes as well, which will create more deforestation. And there may even be competition over whether you'll farm coffee beans or cocoa beans, which will be quite controversial. So we're now going to move on to the more sad part of the episode, or at least for us two, and that is the impacts of cocoa or coffee on the climate. So, Saoirse, what is the impact on climate change from coffee?
Well, for chocolate. So the impact of climate change on chocolate is unfortunately quite high. It's up there with some of the other high carbon contributors, such as cheese. Not quite as high, but it's getting there. So for every 100 gram chocolate bar that you consume, nearly half a kilo of carbon will be produced, which is quite a lot for a food group.
That is quite a lot, yeah. So I know coffee is a little bit more variable in that sense, so it really depends mainly on which type of coffee you get. Generally, a conventional latte with dairy milk that you might order from a general chain store will be around 600 grams of CO2. But the important factor is that the espresso is less than half of this. So the milk is a very big contributing factor to the carbon footprint. So in order to reduce this, there are multiple ways. So if you still like dairy milk or you can't drink any of the substitutes due to allergies, if you selectively choose sustainable coffee, then this will be around 400 grams. And then if you really want to make the jump and jump to non-dairy milk, I know my favourite is oat milk, that will be around 200 grams.
So there is quite a significant variation in your carbon footprint of coffee, which is quite interesting. So you probably can do quite a lot to reduce it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if you think about it, 400 grams of CO2 is generally equivalent to 2 kilometres of driving. So if you shift from a conventional latte with dairy milk to sustainable coffee and non-dairy milk, then you could drive for an extra 2 kilometres if you want, or you could be saving those 2 kilometres for the climate. And I think with the case of coffee, something else that's worth mentioning is the different type of cup that you use. So even though washing up does use a bit of energy, generally it's a very small percentage of your carbon footprint. However, if you use a non-reusable coffee cup that you can get out of chain stores if you just rock up with no alternative, that's about 13 grams of CO2 emissions for a single cup. And I know 13 grams in the proportion of things compared to the drink, which is 600 grams, isn't too much, but if you're getting one every day or multiple times a day, it definitely adds up.
I know there's also other great reasons to use your own cup. Like, I went to this coffee shop the other day called Arabica, and I know quite a few other coffee shops do this, but I gave my reusable cup and I actually got quite a good discount, so that's another reason for using your own cup.
Yeah, definitely. And I know LSE also does, I think it's 25p off or something like that if you bring your reusable cup, so it's definitely worth getting one, I would suggest.
Yeah. Because over time you'd save money as well.
Oh yeah, so definitely. So moving on from climate change in particular, are there any environmental effects of cocoa production?
So I think deforestation must be the biggest one. As I mentioned before, because of the crop variability, but also the expansion of cocoa farming into higher altitudes, deforestation is a major issue. And also it's more productive, unfortunately, to just clear the current rainforests instead of using and the current land, which may not be producing productive cocoa trees anymore because I know they age and their production decreases. So deforestation is a major issue. And the main problem with this is it creates a positive feedback loop, which means that because of deforestation happening, it actually can worsen climate change, which will then worsen the production of cocoa. It also is likely to disrupt local weather patterns because trees, they play an important function of evapotranspiration, which contributes towards the formation of rain clouds and rain. So with more deforestation as well, we're also likely to experience less rains in regions with cocoa farming, which will also impact the productivity of cocoa.
So it's not sounding very positive, apart from if we mitigate climate change for one of our secret treats, or not so secret, if most UK citizens or people who live here eat 3 bars a week.
Yeah.
So I know we've just mentioned that deforestation will occur because people may need to move to different regions, but there are people involved in this process. So does this kind of climate change issue create any social issues as well?
Well, lots of people rely on cocoa farming for their livelihoods, and with increased crop variability, they're likely to have a less secure source of income, which can worsen poverty. And also because already farmers, they don't have a very high income in cocoa production, unfortunately, it means that they don't have the funds to adapt to climate change in the long run and invest any of their income into the long run production of cocoa, which is quite unfortunate. And I know another problem that cocoa farming is facing is separate to climate change, but it's child labour. So in 2013, 2 million children were estimated to be involved in the cocoa farming in Ghana, which probably means, unfortunately, they won't be attending school, so it could influence their whole future, which is not great.
No, and it's definitely not helpful for climate change itself if they need to become more resilient. And I know coffee is very similar, so around 125 million people rely on coffee production for their livelihoods, so it's very important. And I know a couple of years ago, so in Brazil, there was a drought, which has been attributed to climate change, or is likely attributed at least, and that damaged around 1.5 million square kilometres of cropland and reduced exports by a vast percentage, around 23%, I think. So this reduced exports, which meant that prices increased, and we may not have felt it as a consumer, but there's only a certain limit on that.
So, are there any solutions to improving the sustainability of our consumption of coffee?
So, as I mentioned before, buying a reusable coffee cup, I know many people have probably told you this already, but it's a very valuable thing. So let alone saving money in the long run, like we've just discussed, if you use a plastic reusable cup, like the ones that are sold at LSE, you only need to use that 30 times to then eliminate your carbon footprint from the same number of coffee cups. And then for a steel reusable cup, which is generally a bit more insulated, that's around 130 times due to the production of the plastics and steels. And also use an alternative milk. Why not try coconut milk? I know some of my friends are a big fan of the coconut milk in the hot chocolate prep, and like I said, I'm a big fan of oat milk as well, so it's definitely a positive alternative, and there's so many brands now. If you don't like one brand, it doesn't mean that you don't like oat milk or coconut milk.
For anyone who hasn't tried oat milk out there, I recommend the Oatly brand at the moment. That must be my favourite type of oat milk.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of Oatly. And I know my parents are a big fan of Minor Figures and Moma, because they're a slightly different taste. It all depends on how you like your coffee, and I know it's very personal. So, is there any way we can reduce our carbon footprint, or reduce the impact on cocoa production and chocolate?
So there's actually quite a lot of sustainability certifications out there that can help us make informed decisions as consumers. For example, Fair Trade, is a really good certification that helps inform consumers about the social sustainability of a product. So basically what fair trade does it sets a minimum price of the product. So when farmers go to sell it, if the price is dramatically reduced, they'll always get the minimum price, which means they'll always have the money to cover their costs and their food and their shelter, which is really important. And also fair trade does this really great thing called premium money, and this money goes towards farmers so they can invest it back into the community to help the community develop. So things like this can include childcare or education, so that's definitely a great way. There's also other sustainability certifications out there, for example Cocoa for Life. This is more of an environmental certification, and what they do is they help farmers practice good agriculture forestry practices. So what they try and do is they try and encourage farmers to plant non-cocoa trees on the land, and this will help diversify the landscape, which will in turn increase productivity and the resilience of the crops, because basically these trees will help reduce the spread of disease, and they can also help provide shade and soil protection for the cocoa plants. And then one of the most important things you could do is probably reduce your consumption, unfortunately, which is quite sad.
That is bad news, especially around exam season.
Yes, I wouldn't say you have to stop it completely, but just reducing it will have a big impact. And it's also important to say, while chocolate does have a climatic impact, all foods do, and some more than others. So, for example, not that you substitute cheese for chocolate, but if you do, cheese has a much greater climatic impact than chocolate. So it's all relative, basically.
Okay, that's good to know then. And I know coffee is quite similar in that aspect. So, interestingly, there was a study that came out, I think a couple of years ago now. I would recommend watching a YouTube video by James Hoffman if you're interested in finding out more. But that study claimed that using coffee capsules from Nespresso machines, especially if they're able to be recycled, are actually more carbon friendly. This study was slightly contentious in some way, but the general conclusions is you don't need to go out and buy an espresso coffee machine, but it's more important to reduce coffee waste. So if you're making coffee at home, only use the amount of coffee that's quite necessary, and also try not to boil excess water. And I know as well, in the cost of living crisis, with the prices of electricity, that also will save you money as well. So it's a win-win. But also, if you do have an espresso machine, please recycle the capsules, because when they degrade in landfill, or don't degrade in landfill, that's also harmful for the environment.
Thank you for listening.
Hope you enjoyed our episode on coffee and chocolate.